This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What other coffee is there? What other coffee is there? Ready? Bismillah. Face the mic. Like this. All right. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah al-aziz al-jabbar المتكبر الكبير الخالق البارئ المصور. And now we finally last, whenever with the last session we did, we concluded the names that are mentioned in the end of Surah Al-Hashr. And now we come to Al-Ghaffar. And Al-Ghaffar is also paired with another name, which is Al-Ghafur, which is also paired with another name, which is Al-Ghafir. And it's also paired with another name, which is Khairul Ghafirin. Okay? So we've got four names that we're going to knock out tonight. And these are the only names that we're going to do today, inshallah, which is Al-Ghafir, Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghaffar, Al-Ghafirin. Now, is mentioned where Allah says, with mercy, forgiveness is paired with mercy. Remember? So Al-Ghafur is paired with the Ruh. So, think and He is forgiving and He's forbearing. That is the most merciful. One who is the most forgiving. And we, when we get to know Allah Azza wa Jal, this should create in us a comfort in asking Him to forgive us, a love for Allah Azza wa Jal's attribute of forgiveness. There are many people who feel distant from Allah Azza wa Jal. And they feel distant from Allah because they don't know who He is. And so they commit mistakes. And in their lack of knowledge of Allah, they think that these mistakes have become a barrier between them and accessing Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness or accessing Allah's mercy. They say, I've been bad. I'm like, okay, I know you've been bad. No, I've been really bad. And so they feel that they have reached a level, done something in their life, where Allah Azza wa Jalla cannot forgive them. Or Allah Azza wa Jalla will be even more upset if they raise their hands and ask for Allah's forgiveness. And it's actually the opposite. That in fact, you know, it's very beautiful. It's amazing actually. That the most vivid description that we have, that I've come across at least, of Allah's happiness. Do you know what the most vivid description of Allah's happiness is? That you come across in the sunnah? It's the camel, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah, this is the picture that Allah paints, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam paints, of Allah's happiness. He says, Allah is more happy with the repentance of His servant than a man who is in the desert with a single camel. And on top of that camel is his mata', his food and his sustenance and his nourishment and everything is on that camel. And in a moment, that camel is gone. And all he sees in front of him is death. There's nowhere he's going to go. He's not going to get very far. He's not going to be able to survive. He's going to die. So I like to think of this hadith like a movie. The beginning of the movie, you have a guy, he's going to go somewhere. And he's bidding farewell to his people, right? And then somewhere he loses the camel. This is like, if Bilal was here, he would tell us which act that would be. But somewhere along the lines, he loses his camel. And you can imagine him going through all of the emotions that come with that, right? Desperation. First, he's searching for the camel everywhere. Anger, maybe. Sadness. He might have an emotional breakdown at some point. And then, finally, he comes to the conclusion that he's going to die. He's going to die. And so, he comes to grips with that fact. And as he sits down, awaiting death, all of a sudden, in that moment of submission, he sees his camel right in front of him. And then you imagine this guy, however ecstatic he must have become, he yells at the top of his voice, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. Oh my Lord, you are my slave. And I am your Lord. And the Prophet ﷺ says, أخطأ من شدة الفرح. He made a mistake because of how happy he was. And so this hadith illustrates to us what? That happiness was used as an example of the happiness of Allah Azza wa Jal when one of his slaves says, oh Allah, I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to, whatever that sin is, I'm going to try my best. I regret it. I'm not happy with it. You deserve a better servant. I deserve to be better for my Lord. And I'm going to try to journey to you again. That is the happiness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so when people feel like they've committed something that's just put them beyond the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's really because they haven't understood who Allah Azza wa Jalla is. Allah extends His hand during the day to accept the repentance of the one who sins during the night. Allah extends His hand during the night to accept the repentance of the one who sins during the day. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he tells us that if we were to become a sinless creation, if we were to somehow not sin, we wouldn't be rewarded, we'd be replaced. The Prophet ﷺ says, Allah Azza wa Jalla would replace you with a community, with a species, with a group, who would then commit sins so that they could seek Allah's forgiveness and so that Allah Azza wa Jalla would forgive them. The Prophet ﷺ, he describes a beautiful hadith that he calls Sayyidul Istighfar. It is the master of seeking forgiveness. And so this is a dua that we should all seek to memorize. We should all memorize this dua. The Prophet ﷺ says that whoever says it in the morning and then passes away, they will enter into paradise. And whoever says it in the evening and then passes away, they will enter into paradise. Yani that sin removes a person's the effects and the harms of that sin for that day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is Sayyidul Istighfar? That a person says, Allahumma anta rabbi, oh my Lord, oh my Allah, you are my Lord. Khalaqtani wa ana abduk, you have created me, I'm your slave, I'm your servant. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'at, and I am upon my covenant to you and my promise to you as best as I can. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at, I seek refuge in you from the evil that I've done. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ, I admit your favors upon me. وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي, and I admit my sin. فَغْفِرْ لِي, so forgive me. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ, because no one forgives for sins except for you. And the Prophet ﷺ calls this the master of seeking forgiveness. In this supplication, in this dua, in this conversation that a person is having with Allah Azza wa Jal, they're testifying to Allah's oneness. You're my Lord. They're admitting Allah's favors. This eyesight that I might have used to sin against you, these ears that I might have used, these fingers that I might have used, they're all blessings that came from you. I don't deny that you're the one who gave me this money that I might use to sin against you. You're the one who gave me this knowledge that I might use as a source of arrogance through which I sin against you. You're the one who gave me this eloquence that I might use that leads me to sin. All of these blessings, they're not from my own accord. They're all from you. And I admit to my shortcomings. I admit to my sins. And I seek refuge in you from the evil of those sins and from what I've done. Okay, so this, and in this Sayyidul Istighfar, you also have a person trying to continue to stay true to the covenant that they made with Allah Azza wa Jal. I stumble, I fall, and he says, وَنَا عَلَىٰ أَهْدِكَ وَعْدِكَ مَسْتَطَعَتْ, I'm upon my covenant with you and my promise to you as best as I can. And some days are better than others. And some days we're more true to the covenant than others. And that's why this is a beautiful dua that you make every single day. In the morning, in the evening, every day you're renewing your covenant with Allah Azza wa Jal. You're renewing your promise with Allah Azza wa Jal. And if a person makes that covenant and they try to fulfill it as best they can, and they pass away during that day, inshallah ta'ala, they're of the people of paradise. And if they try and they make that covenant in the evening and they pass away during the night, inshallah ta'ala, they're of the people of paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another beautiful hadith, two hadith that I want to share, speaking about the forgiveness of Allah. The first is Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says about Allah azza wa jalla. So both of these hadith are hadith Qudsi. Hadith Qudsi is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrating from Allah azza wa jalla. So the first is that Abu Hurairah says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah azza wa jalla says that a slave committed a sin. And so he says, the slave then says, Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَذْنَبَ عَبْدِي ذَنْبًا فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبِ وَيَأْخُذُ بِهِ. He says, my Lord, forgive me. He committed a sin. And then Allah says, my slave has committed a sin. And he recognizes, he acknowledges, he knows that he has a Lord that forgives sins. And then the slave then commits the sin again. And then he says, my Lord, forgive me. And then he says, my slave has committed a sin, and he recognizes that he has a Lord who forgives sins. And then the slave commits the same sin again. And if we had witnessed that same slave do the same sin 3-4 times, each time we would have slapped him, right? What are you doing? But Allah Azza wa Jalla continues to say, my slave has committed a sin, and he has forgiven, he recognizes that he has a Lord who forgives sins. I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. Until finally, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, اعمل ما شئت فقد غفرت لك. At one point he will say to the slave, if he continues to say, oh Allah, forgive me. And I'm saying this because a person may feel embarrassed that, you know what, this is a particular sin that I haven't been able to get out of my habit. Like, I haven't been able to remove this from my actions, from my daily scrolls. I haven't been able to erase it. I haven't been able to stop it. And so at one point do you stop saying, oh Allah, forgive me? At what point do I become shy? At what point do I say, let me not keep standing in front of the door of Allah Azza wa Jalla with the same crime and asking for forgiveness for it? The answer to that is never. At no point do you stop asking Allah Azza wa Jalla for forgiveness. And it may be that at one of those points where you're asking, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, do whatever you wish, I have forgiven you. But you never know when he says that, right? So you have to keep trying and striving and arguing and struggling against your soul. But you recognize throughout and that you never forget that Allah Azza wa Jalla is so forgiving and Allah Azza wa Jalla is so merciful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another hadith that he narrates from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is the hadith of Anas, which is in Tirmidhi, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam, innaka ma da'utani, as long as you call upon me. And son of Adam or daughter of Adam, right? Children of Adam. As long as you call upon me and have hope in me, غَفَرْتُ لَكْ, I will forgive you. وَلَا أُبَالِي, I won't mind. I love that line. I won't mind. It's not going to come up again. I'm not going to be upset. There's not going to be any distance between us. I won't mind. يَا ابْنِ آدَمْ لَوْ بَلَغَتْ ذُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ. Oh, son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the sky, and then you sought my forgiveness, I would forgive you. Ya ibn Adam, if you were to come to me with the earth's weight of sins, and then you sought my forgiveness, and then you met me, not having committed shirk with me, لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرًا, I would come to you with what is equal to it of forgiveness. Now, anybody here have the earth's weight of sins? Anyone here have sins that reach the sky? But yet Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, if you have even that much, but if you seek Allah's forgiveness, I'm going to forgive you. I won't mind. If you come to me with the earth's weight of sins, and then you come to me not committing shirk with me, then I will come to you with what is equal to it of maghfirah. You know, even in Surah Al-Buruj, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells the story of a people who tortured believers. And it's a very vicious story, the people of the trench. They were cast into a trench and they were burned alive and they were thrown into a trench. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ السَّعِيرِ. Allah says, those who try the believing men and the believing women, those who test the believing women, men and women like that, and he's talking about a great crime, he's talking about a community that was annihilated of believers. And they were annihilated in the most vicious way, being burned alive and thrown into these trenches. Thrown into these trenches where they would be burned alive. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. Allah says that, but they didn't repent. What does that mean? If they would have repented, what would have happened? They would have been forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that's powerful. Right? People who had committed that level of war crimes, crimes against humanity, crimes against the community. And Allah says, if they don't repent, they will have the hellfire. Meaning that if they did repent, even that community, even those criminals, would have found Allah Azza wa Jalla to be forgiving and merciful. And so the notion of studying Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness is, again, it's inspiring for us, but it's also something that we have to make sure that we learn and we communicate to other people. Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ فَضْلًا كَبِيرًا. Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, give glad tidings to the believers that they have from Allah Azza wa Jal incredible grace. They have from Allah Azza wa Jal vast grace, great grace. And so are we people who communicate the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal to other people? Or are we people who communicate doom and destruction and hellfire to the Muslim community? We're going around making sure that everybody feels horrible about their lives. People commit sins and you are going and you're telling them that Allah Azza wa Jalla, you're distancing them from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Right? Allah says, that's not what Allah says. Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ فَضْلًا كَبِيرًا. Give glad tidings to the believers. Give them the good news that they have from Allah Azza wa Jalla incredible grace. There's, you know, one of my teachers, he mentioned that he had went to a high school. And he asked the kids in school, it was an Islamic school, and he asked the kids in the school, he said, how many of you feel like Allah is angry with you? I said, the majority of the kids raised their hand. I'm like, really? They're like 16 years old. They haven't even done anything yet. But this notion just shows how the nature of Allah Azza wa Jalla isn't communicated to people, right? And that only increases them in their bu'd from Allah Azza wa Jalla. One of the reasons why people become atheists is because they don't understand that Allah is al-Ghafoor al-Rahim, and at the same time they're living a haram lifestyle, and so this becomes a conflict, right? Nobody wants to sit there every morning thinking about how they're going to hell. And so it just becomes easier for me to say, I don't believe in all of this in the first place. And so maybe a soul would be saved, maybe a person would be saved, if we did a better job, or if people did a better job communicating to the others that, no, whatever you do. You know, there's this one sheikh, he's very well known for dealing with celebrities. And just, you know, people who live a very alternative lifestyle. Even if they're Muslim. And so he, one of our teachers was in his company. And he said that this brother came and he said to him, you know, very big, superstar type guy, and he said, Sheikh, I committed a certain sin. I went out and one thing's led to another, and I fell into a trap of shaitan. He says to him, it's okay, you're gonna be okay. He didn't say to him, it's okay. He said, you're gonna be okay. Allah Azza wa Jalla is forgiving, Allah Azza wa Jalla is merciful. And the guy's like breaking down and he's crying and saying to him, you're okay, don't worry, you're gonna be okay. And then when he the man, however long he sat with him, when he left, the sheikh said to him, this must be like the 15th or 20th time that he's come to me with the exact same mistake. He wasn't mocking him. He wasn't saying like, this guy is a bad guy. He's saying to him, look at the emotion that he has. Look at the mistakes that he has. And he's come to me 15, 20 times. Each time he's trying to fight this, he hasn't been able to overcome it yet. My job is to simply tell him, you're going to be okay. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal, he knows that if this person were to be sincere and to stay sincere, then even if they committed that sin 100 times, 1,000 times, every time that they stand up, dust themselves off, Allah Azza wa Jalla is ready to forgive. Right? But we have to communicate that to people, and we have to believe in that ourselves. We have to believe in that ourselves, that our sins, inshallah ta'ala, are not going to be a barrier between us and Allah. There's a beautiful dua, the dua of Sulaiman, Surah Sad. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا سُلَيْمَانَ وَأَلْقَيْنَا عَلَىٰ كُرْسِيهِ جَسَدًا ثُمَّ أَنَامَ. Sulaiman was tested, and he repented to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he says, قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَهَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِ. Sulaiman says, oh my Lord, forgive me and grant me a kingdom the likes of which no man has ever had before. Nobody will ever have. And so this verse is literally in the same breath. In the same breath, he says, my Lord, forgive me. Now, if you're making dua and you say, my Lord, forgive me, you're making dua for forgiveness, you may not dare to ask for something else. Oh Allah, just forgive me and that's it, I'm good. I don't want anything else. Just forgive my sins. But Sulaiman, in the same breath, oh Allah, grant me a kingdom the likes of which nobody has ever seen, nobody will ever have after that. And so Allah says, فَسَخَرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحِ. We gave him that. We gave him the wind, and we gave him the jinn, and we gave him all of that type of stuff right away. All of that, right? Indicating Allah Azza's forgiveness and Allah Azza's, yani this notion that we should never, our sins should never be a barrier between us and Allah Azza wa Jal. What are some of the ways to obtain Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness? What can we do? Number one is goodness to Allah's creation. Not necessarily one in importance, but as far as my order goes. Goodness to Allah Azza wa Jal's creation. And so, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, غُفِرَ لِإِمْرَأَةٍ مُومِسَ مَرَّتْ بِكَلْبٍ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ. He says that, بكلب يلهث قال كاد يقتله العطش فنزعت خفها وخفها. He says that a woman or a prostitute was forgiven. Abu Huraira says that the Prophet says that a woman was for a prostitute was forgiven because she gave water to a dog. She saw that the dog was panting out of thirst, and she said that this dog is affected by thirst, and so she took her shoe and she placed it into the well and she gave this dog water. فَنَزَعَتْ لَهُ مِنَ الْمَاءِ فَغُفِرَ لَهَا بِذَلِكَ. She was forgiven because of that. Prostitute, forgiving water to a dog. What do you think would happen to a person if they helped another human being? If you were to go and donate water to the people of Flint, Michigan, and you did that, you don't think Allah Azza wa Jalla would forgive your sins? You don't think that Allah Azza wa Jalla would forgive your sins if you sponsored an orphan in one of these Muslim lands? And these are the examples that Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving us, not just so that we can have this academic historical information of the one time that Allah Azza wa Jalla forgave a prostitute because she gave water to a dog, but for us to know that Allah Azza wa Jalla continues to forgive, and Allah Azza wa Jalla can continue someone whose society would look at it and be like, this is the most sinful person. And he forgave her completely because she helped something that in society is completely negligible, a dog. That is the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In another hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, while a man was walking, بَيْنَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي فَاشْتَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَطَشِ. A man was walking and he found himself to be very, very thirsty. فَنَزَلَ بِئْرًا فَشَرِبَ مِنْهَا. He entered into a well and he drank from it. And then when he exited, he saw that there was a dog that was panting out of thirst. And so he said, this dog is affected by the same thirst, right? He related to the dog. He said, this dog is affected by the same thirst that I was just suffering from. And so he goes back in and he gets water for the dog. And so he says, فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. He says, Allah Azza wa Jal appreciated what he did. فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. So he forgave him. The companions, they said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَإِنَّا لَنَا فِي الْبَهَائِمِ أَجْرًا. They said, oh Messenger of Allah, do we have reward for what we do with animals? And the Prophet ﷺ said, there is reward for kindness to every living thing. And this is like a hadith that you want to just put on billboards downtown, right? That the Prophet ﷺ says that there is reward for kindness for every living thing. Everything that we can be good to, that we can be generous to, if a person is conscious of Allah Azza wa Jalla, inshallah ta'ala, it'll be a source of reward for them. Also, of the things that causes for people's forgiveness is for you yourself to forgive people, and for you yourself to overlook people's faults, and for you yourself to look after them. Abu Hurairah also, he narrates in Bukhari that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kana tajirun yudayinu an-nas, fa idha ra'a muhsiran qala li fatayanihi tajawazu anhu la'alla Allah yatajawaza 'anna, fatajawaza Allah 'anhu." He says that there was a Muslim businessman who, whenever he would deal with people, he would lend people money. And so whenever he would lend people money, and if they weren't able to pay, he wasn't like a loan shark, he would go and send his cronies to go break their legs. He would say, "Tajawazu anhu," overlook him. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jalla will overlook our faults. And so he says, Allah Azza wa Jalla forgave that man because of that. And so when I'm in a position of strength, that I don't demand every single right that I have. I don't sit there and do this muhasabah of people that's so precise and so severe. It may be that that person's severe holding of people of account, that they will be held account in a severe way in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so this person, he says, overlook it. If they can pay, great. If they can't pay, don't worry about it. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive us on the Day of Judgment. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla forgave. So forgiving, overlooking between your siblings, your children, your spouse. ليس الغبي بسيد القوم ولكن سيد القوم ليس الجاهل بسيد القوم ولكن سيد القوم يتجاهل. The ignorant person isn't the one who's the leader amongst his community, but the leader amongst his community, he kind of plays dumb sometimes. They overlook things. They don't let everything bother them. Okay? And so, doing that with other people. Also, Abu Huraira narrates, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي فِي طَرِيقِ إِذْ وَجَدَ غُسْلٌ شَوْكٍ فَأَخَّرَهُ فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. He says that a man found an obstacle in the form of a thorny branch. So this guy's walking down the street, he sees a thorny branch, it's in the way, it might have been a narrow path, this branch is blocking everybody. So he takes it and he moves it. So he says Allah Azza wa Jalla appreciated him for that. He appreciated the action and he entered into paradise. And so that simple action, now if this person were to go and recount every action that he did, there might have been something great in there. There might have been a hajj, there might have been a umrah, there might have been fasting and salah and all of these things. None of us, even ourselves, when we're looking back at our lives, we're not thinking of the time that we moved a glass bottle from the street. That's not what we're thinking about. But that could be the action that takes a person to Jannah. Now, if that's talking about a glass bottle, or you're moving an obstacle from the road, what about the person who moves an obstacle from a person's life? Right? You block an obstacle to a person's happiness. You block an obstacle to a person's success. You remove that obstacle from them. Right? We become people who move these things for people. Because these things can be just as harmful as a thorny branch in the road. And we expect that Allah Azza wa Jalla will appreciate it just like He appreciated the action of that person. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, I am as my slave expects of me. I am as my slave thinks that I am. To wrap up, one of the ways, or there are a few ways that sins are forgiven in dunya. A few ways, some of the ulama, they categorize them. So you have the first is istighfar and tawbah, that a person, and some of them made them two different categories, but I'm lumping them together. Istighfar, that you seek Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness, that you always stand at the door of Allah. I was going to say knock, but to knock would indicate that it's closed, right? And the door of Allah Azza wa Jalla is never closed, but that you stand at the door of Allah Azza wa Jalla constantly. For, you know, Ibn Umar, he says, we used to sit there and count the times that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make istighfar in a gathering. So while they're sitting down and they're just conversing, they might be just talking about something normal from the dunya, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with them. He's not going to be aloof and secluded and, "No, I can't talk about the dunya with you guys. Let's always talk about akhirah." No, he's there with them. He's present with them. But in his moments of quietness, they're looking at his mouth and he's saying astaghfirullah, 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 and they would count. And they would say, in one majlis, we would hear the Prophet ﷺ say astaghfirullah 100 times. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Ya ayyuhan nas tubu." He says, "Oh people, repent to Allah Azza wa Jal." Why? Because I repent to Allah Azza wa Jal over 70 times a day. Or 100 times a day. And so this indicates a spirituality and a focus and a relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal that is actually very foreign to many of us, Allahu musta'an. So the first is constantly seeking Allah's forgiveness and constantly repenting, that erases sins. The second is good deeds. Good deeds erase sins. And the story of this is that a man, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَقِمَ الصَّلَاةَ طَرْفَيْ النَّهَارِ وَزُلْفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَزُلْفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah says, establish the prayer in the morning and in the evening, at the two ends of the day, and at the approach of the night. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. That good deeds erase bad deeds. And so there was a man who came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had kissed a woman. And he was like, oh my God, I committed such a major sin. So he went to Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said to him, Tub, repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, wastur ala nafsik. Conceal your sin, don't tell anybody. So he couldn't bear it, and he went to Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar told him, repent and conceal your sin. And so the man, he couldn't bear it. So he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Fajr, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam criticized him. He criticized him pretty harshly, actually, until the man thought he was going to go to the hellfire. And so then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was overcome, and they realized that wahi was coming down on him. And then he recited this verse, وَقِمَ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيَ النَّهَارُ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُثِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and establish the prayer in the morning, the two times and approaching of the night. Verily, good deeds erase bad deeds. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, did you pray Fajr with us? And he said, yes. He said, this is your answer then. And so then the man said, Ya Rasulullah, was this verse revealed just for me? And he said, no, it's for my entire ummah. And so we know that hasanat erase bad deeds. Ramadan to Ramadan erases the sins that's in between. Jum'ah to Jum'ah, the prayers one after another, they erase sins. Hajj, of course, erases all of a person's sins. That all of these things, wudu, erases sins. All of these good deeds that a person does, they erase sins, and they erase sins, and they erase sins, and that's from the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. The last way to have sins removed from you in the dunya is calamities that befall you. Every pain that you experience, every harm that befalls you, that is all purification for you, and it's a removal of sins. Ibn al-Qayyim says, sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla desires a level for his slave in paradise. Allah wants you to be here, but your actions are like here. But Allah wants you to be up here. And so what he does is that he throws a calamity, or he casts a calamity upon that person, and then inspires them to be patient. So he gives them the calamity, and then he gives them the tawfiq to be patient, and then through that patience, they ascend to that place that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants. Right? And so that's a great blessing. So this is what I wanted to share with regards to these names of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, jazakumullah khair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa iyyakum. Next week is Al-Qahhar with an extra rrr. Yeah, Al-Qahhar. And I think Al-Wahhab, Allah Alam. No, it doesn't have to be specific. It can be general. Or it could be thinking about a particular sin. So either or. You know something, you just reminded me of something. What happens if a person doesn't want to repent from a sin? Like sometimes that happens, right? A person just over time loves the sin. What are you going to do? And so even you'll find that those people, like people will be like, sometimes they'll be like, make dua for me, but don't make dua for me too much. It's like, I just want to get, they will find that they're asking Allah to, oh Allah, remove all of these sins for me, but this one, they're kind of not mentioning it, right? Because it's actually too enjoyable. What does a person then do? So there's a dua for that also, which is, اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. Oh Allah, make Iman beloved to me and beautify it in my heart, and make hated to me. Because that's the first step. It's like, my problem is that I don't hate it. And so كره إلي الكفر, make disbelief and فسوق and transgression and عصيان, disobedience, make all of these things hated to me. Allah a'lam. Yeah, that's not relevant to your question, but I just reminded me to share it. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. جزاكم الله خير.